Welcome to All Saints Church, Fordham and Atash Green. My name is Francis Blight, and this is the podcast service for Sunday the 5th of July, 2020. The government has given permission for churches to reopen for public worship. We're currently working through a process to make sure that our gatherings will be COVID safe. We plan, God willing, to hold the first service at Fordham Church on Sunday the 19th of July. Seating will be limited to enable social distancing, and for this reason you'll need to book in advance. Further details will be published as they become available. We want to live stream the full service through the website. Please pray for Julian Griffiths as he investigates software options to enable this. Today we continue our summer focus, seeking to learn from Paul's letter to the Philippians. All the content that you need to participate in today's service can be found in a Bible and in the notice sheet. Alongside this podcast, there's a children's YouTube video and accompanying activity sheets. This week, Ruth Reynolds looks at King David's 23rd Psalm as a scripture where we can find hope. All the resources can be found on the church website. Today's service will be led by John Bradley, and I will be preaching with the title, Christ-Centered Choices.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all, wherever you're listening. And if you're not a regular member of our church family at All Saints and are joining us as a visitor, then a special welcome to you. We're so glad that you can be with us. If my sums are right, this is the 15th podcast service we've held, and although it's been announced that churches may now open, there may yet be many weeks before we can all meet together again as we used to before the lockdown. Be that as it may, many of us will be missing the company and friendship of our church family friends, from whom we've been separated since the end of March. There'll be some of us who are feeling this isolation very deeply, and some of us will have continuing worries, perhaps about health, job, finances, or other concerns. Even in our needs, though, we may take encouragement from words in Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. And in our isolation, the Apostle Paul assures us that God is with us. He writes these wonderful words of encouragement in Romans chapter 8. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we continue to struggle with all the consequences, difficulties and pressures arising out of the pandemic, we may look to our Heavenly Father, to his love, compassion and faithfulness, and through the Holy Spirit receive his help, guidance and encouragement. Later in our service today, our minister Francis will be bringing us God's word from our current series on Paul's letter to the Philippians. Francis will be showing how even while in prison, Paul's aims were to honour Christ and to put others first. Honouring Christ by continuing to preach the gospel faithfully and courageously, and putting others first by staying alive for the Philippians' benefit rather than dying and going to be with Christ. Well, I'll now open in prayer taken from the words of David in Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. In you we trust, O God. Do not let us be put to shame, nor let our enemies triumph over us. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are our God and Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of our youth and our rebellious ways. According to your love, remember us, for you are good, O Lord. And so we'll now have our first hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Come to our time for confession. In Psalm 103, we read, The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger for ever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so we pause for a moment to reflect on our transgressions, those times when we've fallen short of what God would have wished of us. So we now say together the confession from the service sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wonderfully, though, if we are in Christ, these words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, would apply to us. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Loving Father, We praise you for your amazing love in forgiving us through the Lord Jesus Christ and for giving us new life. May we never take this love for granted. Amen. We now say together the prayer which Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer from the service sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We now say together the special prayer for today, the collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity, which is in the service sheet. We say together, O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now have our Bible reading from Philippians, read to us today by Ben Miller.
Today's reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. That's Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ben. And we now come to declare our faith in the words of the responsive Apostles' Creed in the service sheet. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Francis will now open God's word for us.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you speak to us when we hear and understand your Bible. So we ask now that you'll be with us in the power of your Holy Spirit, opening your word to us. Please teach us from the Apostle Paul's life and example. Amen. Paul was imprisoned when he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. In his own words, he was in chains for Christ. But in spite of his incarceration, we see a remarkable attitude in him. Many of us are facing difficult and challenging circumstances during this COVID-19 pandemic. And it may be that new difficulties have come upon you more recently as the weeks have progressed. The school term is coming to an end, but perhaps you found it very difficult to do all your schoolwork at home. Maybe you live on your own and it's been a lonely time for you. Perhaps the regulations for doing your job have made life very tiring. And we've heard on the news this week that many in the UK are being made redundant. If that is you, my heart goes out to you at this time. For some of us, particularly those who are shielding, it may feel like a sort of imprisonment. Now, we don't want to exaggerate the similarity between Paul's imprisonment and ours at the moment. He was literally chained up. But as we examine his attitude, let's seek to apply it to the details of our own lives at this moment, particularly the things that we're struggling with. What we see in Paul was a Christ-centered attitude, which led him to make Christ-centered choices. And that's the title of today's sermon. Christ-centered choices, whatever your circumstances. It will help if you have Philippians chapter 1 open in front of you so that we can look at some of the verses together. And Paul Southern preached on verses 12 to 18 last week, so today we'll be focusing mainly on verses 20 to 26. This talk has three points to give a shape to this message and the space to take notes on page 4 of today's notice sheet. So firstly, seek to honour Christ in life and death. Let's have a look at verse 21. Paul wrote from prison, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but always have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul's future is unclear to him. He's awaiting a trial in a Roman court. He may be freed, or he may be found guilty and executed. Whatever happens, Paul's focus is that the gospel message of Jesus will be honoured. His concern, and perhaps it was his personal prayer request to God, is that he won't bring any disgrace or dishonour to Christ and Christ's message. Paul's focus is that there's something more important in life than himself. Jesus was more important to Paul than his own comforts. We see this in verse 12, where he celebrates the fact that his imprisonment has served to advance the gospel message. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As we heard last week, the soldiers who guarded Paul heard the gospel from him, so that, verse 13, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Now, we might think that putting someone in prison because of their Christian faith would silence them and defeat the progress of the gospel. But no, in contrast, the gospel is now spread around a military unit at the heart of the Roman Empire. From the outside, it looks like the progress of the gospel has been set back. Paul's chained up. But from Paul's perspective, it's the opposite. He's doing an unofficial sort of army chaplaincy role, spreading the gospel in a military barracks. He writes in verse 16 that he is in prison for the defence of the gospel. So for Paul, the gospel was more important than he was. Do you start to feel the discipleship challenge from this passage of scripture? Paul is an example to us of what it means to be Christ-centred. Christ is more important to Paul than his own life. So Christ must be more important than me, Francis. And Christ is more important than you. Paul's fear, the thing he fears going wrong, isn't dying. It's not having a bad day with the internet going down. It's not the problem of the shops having run out of his favourite snack. No, he fears dishonouring Christ and Christ's gospel. This is what it means to be Christ-centred and to make Christ-centred choices. What Paul wants is courage. Courage to honour Christ, whatever happens. Verse 20. I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That's an interesting expression. Christ exalted in my body. I'm not sure we'd say it quite like that today. But he's saying it because he's praying for courage to not give up on Christ in spite of hardships to his physical body or even the possibility of death. The discipleship challenge for us is to move to an attitude where the honour of Jesus Christ and the progress of his gospel are more important to us than our own comforts and even our life. So seek to honour Christ in life and death. This is very challenging. Which of us can say that it is true for us? Can I even say it of myself? Now, we should recognise that Paul was a single man. He didn't have a family to care and provide for. If you're a father or a mother listening to this, you know that your children and perhaps your spouse are dependent on you. But Paul didn't carry this responsibility. So we see his gift of singleness in action. The Bible speaks of being single as a gift, and it was a gift that, of course, Jesus had as well. God doesn't call every Christian to be as tough as Paul was. But in his attitude, we see someone worthy of following as an example. So my first point, following Paul's example, seek to honour Christ in your life and in your death. In verse 21, we now come to a famous nutshell statement from Paul. And this is my second point. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That is an extraordinary statement. It is, if you like, a mission statement. And the verses that follow it explain a bit more about what Paul means. Verse 22 explains what it means to what he means by to live is Christ. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. So when Paul says to live is Christ, he means that he'll continue to work for the advance of Jesus' gospel, seeking to win new people into God's kingdom and to strengthen the churches. But he continues, "Yet what shall I choose? I do not know." Verse 23, "I am torn between the two." He means life and death. "I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far." This explains what Paul means by "to die is gain." For Paul, life after death is clearly going to be better than the present earthly life. And this fits fully with the wider message of the New Testament. In our lives now, there are many wonderful things that we can enjoy, gifts from God. But life has hardships and difficulties as well. And the COVID-19 virus is one of those things. A global pandemic is a reality check. The shrinking of the economy and the loss of jobs is a reality check. Life on earth has difficulties. And this has come as a shock, particularly to Western countries, because we've been living in one of the richest and most privileged times in human history. Universal education, transport for all, central heating, running water in every home. But the Bible is quite clear that the world is broken, it isn't perfect. And the Christian message is that God is going to bring the fullness of his kingdom when Jesus returns to reign as king. Paul is clear that dying is gain. Departing to be with Christ is better by far. But it's important to be clear that Paul's attitude and perspective don't come from some kind of gritted determination. They come from the knowledge that Christ is the best thing that Paul could have. And Christ is the best thing that anyone else could have. Jesus compared the coming kingdom of God to precious treasure buried in a field. Imagine being out with your metal detector in the Essex countryside. Wonderfully, you discover an old buried chest. As you prise open the rusty latch, you find that it's full of ancient coins, and they look like they might be gold. The coming kingdom of God is like a treasure hoard, says Jesus. It will be wonderful, better than life now. Paul's attitude comes from having a real knowledge and desire for Christ's kingship, recognizing it as the best thing that is available to humanity. Because of this, he can say, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, these verses might make us feel uncomfortable, because it can sound like Paul has some kind of death wish. We know that sometimes people feel so bad about themselves, so depressed, so guilty, maybe so weighed down by debt, that they want to commit suicide and take their own life. It is important to be clear that suicide isn't what Paul was promoting. Joy, not depression, was his motivation, the joy of being with Christ. And nowhere in these verses does Paul suggest that it might be right for him to take his own life. That would not be a Christ-centered choice. He wants to honour Christ, not just in death, but also in life. So, we've seen that we should seek to honour Christ in life and death. We've seen that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's look at a third and final aspect of Paul's attitude. Live to serve the joyful faith of others. Paul desires to depart to enjoy Christ, but he sees that there's something more important for him to do. He writes to the Philippian church in verse 24. "It's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Paul recognises that he has the capacity to advance the Philippians' faith. He wants them to be full of joy in their faith. And so that he sees while departing and being with Christ would be better for him personally, he will remain alive in his physical body for their benefit. Here's a great motivation for us to copy. We should live to serve the joyful faith of other Christians. And we note the word joy here in verse 25. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul Southern picked up on the theme of joy in last week's sermon, and here it is again. It is very easy to somehow get the picture that following Christ and being a member of his church is some kind of dutiful drudge for which you'll get the benefit of heaven in the future. But this is not the way it was for Paul. Life or death, it was a win-win situation for him. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Two good options. And Paul could even say this when he was in prison. A key goal of the Christian life is joy. Joy in Jesus Christ, both now in the present life and in the life to come. Trusting Christ is to be a joyful experience. So live to serve the joy and faith of others. Now, it is easy to think that Paul was living 2,000 years ago, and perhaps human experience was very different back then. Or perhaps he was some kind of Christian superman. After all, he is in the Bible, isn't he? Well, as we come towards the end of this sermon, I want to share a story of two men from North Korea. According to the Open Doors World Watch List, North Korea is the most dangerous place in the world to follow Jesus in the year 2020. The leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, demands to be worshipped as a god, and his poster must be hung in all homes and schools. If Christians are discovered, they and their families will be killed or imprisoned for life in terrible prison camps or banished to remote villages to work as forced labour. Police raids aim at arresting citizens with deviating thoughts. And there is an atmosphere of intense fear throughout the country. From our British context, we can hardly believe it to be true. It's so different to our context. But the situation is so serious that the names of the two men in this account have been changed. Young Sik was exiled to one of these villages, one of the villages I just mentioned, forced to endure a life of hard labour, freezing conditions and meagre rations. One day he's whispered desperately, "Oh sweet Jesus, how long do I need to live like this?" His prayer was overheard, not by the authorities, mercifully, but by another believer, an older man called Byung Chul. Silently, Byung Chul made the sign of the cross on Young Sik's palm to show that he was a Christian. But Young Sik didn't understand and pushed him away. Byung Chul tried again. He hummed a line from a well-known hymn. "I was terrified," Young Sik remembers. Byung Chul's face was so hopeful, and I worked out that he was humming the melody on purpose for me to get his sign. The joy I experienced was amazing. I had found a spiritual companion in this hellish place. Now there was hope. Byung Chul had been in that place for decades. He was leading a secret church and looking after homeless street children. He also had medical skills, which he offered to others for free. One day, a local high-ranking official fell ill. Byung Chul helped him to recover, and in gratitude, the official offered him an amazing gift, a chance to move to another city and to have his official status raised. But amazingly, Byung Chul refused this gift. Instead, he gave it away to one of the street children. A few weeks later, the child left for a new life. Byung Chul lived out the rest of his life in that remote place. Before he died, he trained Yung Sik to lead the secret believers there. "It's my calling," says Yung Sik. "This is where God placed me, not the government." As Byung-chul always said, "If I live here, I'll live here. If I die, I will die here." This modern-day story from North Korea shows that finding our joy in Christ can still enable us to make radical, Christ-centered choices today, even in the harshest of circumstances. So in conclusion, seek to honour Christ in life and death, to live as Christ and to die as gain, and live to serve the joyful faith of others. The Apostle Paul is our example, and so is Byung-chul, the secret church leader in North Korea, who lived and died to honour Christ and to serve others for their joy and faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul's example to us. Thank you for Byung-chul's humbling example. Please empower us so that, like them, we can seek to honour Jesus Christ during this COVID-19 pandemic, whether we live or die. We pray that our faith in you may advance and progress at this time, and that we can serve others in your church for the joyful progress of their faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Francis. Much to think about, and what a personal challenge it is for each one of us to follow Paul's example, even in adversity, of advancing the gospel by honouring Christ and putting others first. And so we now come to our last hymn, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me," after which Chris Reynolds will lead us in prayer, Francis will give the notices, and then we'll end in a closing prayer.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my
When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Almighty God, creator of the universe, and yet we have the privilege of being able to come before you in prayer with the needs of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift before you the global church, and particularly for those in countries that are antagonistic to your people. We pray for open doors as they seek to bring support through food, Bibles, education, rebuilding homes and rebuilding churches. In Pakistan, we pray that Christians would not be falsely accused of blasphemy. In Libya, where church is forbidden, we pray for the message to be received through TV, radio and the web. In Somalia, we pray that Christians would not be executed for having a Bible. In Afghanistan, we pray that Christians would not have to hide. In North Korea, where surveillance means no freedom, we pray for the 60,000 Christians in horrendous prison conditions. We pray that more Koreans would come to you in prison and that you would release those currently held. For hearing and answering our prayers, we say Kamsa Hamnida, which means thank you in Korean. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our local church. We pray for our plans to open a post office for 2 days a week in the barn. We pray that this might be a real blessing for the village. Lord, thank you that where two or three are gathered together, you are there in the midst of them. Please help us as we start planning for church to reopen for services later this month. Help us to ensure that people can feel both safe and uplifted by meeting in your presence. We pray for Francis Blight, our incumbent, and the staff team, that you would fill them with love, wisdom and energy, and give them insight on how to lead the church in these difficult days and on how to minister to the needs of the parish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the new personnel who may influence our diocese, local schools and our church. As the process for choosing the new Bishop of Chelmsford has started, we pray for the right people to have influence in appointing your choice. We pray for a new bishop who is full of wisdom and the knowledge of God. We pray for a bishop who will be able to lead the diocese out of the current COVID-19 crisis into the ways of Jesus Christ, so that our churches may again meet to worship and serve you as their overriding desire. We pray for our local CV schools. We pray that Christians will apply for the headship at Fordham and that a Christian will be appointed. We also lift before you All Saints Club, our Sunday school, 4-1 our youth group, and the Christian clubs and the collective worship in the local CV schools. We pray that you will provide people to lead these activities so that the young people will learn your ways. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our government as they seek to ease lockdown and rebuild the economy. We pray particularly for our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, that he would lead us with wisdom and that you would protect our country from godless forces that seek to push us ever further away into your, further away from your ways of justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are sick, in need, in trouble or lonely, especially those in our church. We pray for any that we know who are serving in the NHS that you would strengthen them after much hard work and help them to deal with the backlog of neglected cases. We continue to pray for carers and that their much valued service will be delivered joyfully and safely. We pray for those feeling particularly isolated or neglected, that you would safeguard their mental health and be a comfort to them, and that they can soon see friends and family. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In half a minute's silence, we lift to you anyone else we know in need of your care and grace. Comfort and heal, merciful Father, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who minister to them, and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Some church news as we come towards the end of this podcast. As I mentioned at the beginning, we plan to hold our first public worship service on Sunday the 19th of July. In order to enable us to do this safely, the church office would like to allocate 4 stewards per Sunday service. Please contact Rachel as soon as possible if you're willing to serve in this way. You don't need to have previously served as a steward, and training will be provided. See page 7 of the service sheet for further details. The final week of Christianity Explored takes place this Wednesday. If you're interested in joining a course in the coming months, please do get in touch with the church office to express an interest. The church care team are available to support and help you. Do get in touch with one of them if you'd like to. Their contact details are in the notice sheet. And they'll be having a team meeting this coming Tuesday evening. Harry Borum wrote to me at the beginning of the year to let me know that he would like to step down from his involvement at Fordham and 8 Ash Green after Easter Sunday. Then, of course, the lockdown came. So this is a belated message of thanks to Harry for serving the parish for, I think, about 10 years. Particularly, we say thank you for his love and care shown to the people who attended our services in the 8 Ash Green Church and for his pastoral visiting of people in their homes. On a future Sunday, I look forward to saying a proper in-person thank you from us all when the opportunity permits. Next Sunday's podcast is entitled The Philippians Backstory. We'll be focusing on the beginning of the church when Paul first visited the city of Philippi. It's a remarkable story containing the conversion of a woman called Lydia, the exorcism of a fortune teller possessed by a spirit, and a dramatic jail quake. You can read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And I look forward to seeing you on Zoom at 11:30 this morning for our virtual coffee catch-up.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Francis. And now our final prayer. May God the Father, who created us, send us out, whether in contentment or in adversity, to serve him and worship him, ever watchful and ever prayerful. May God the Son, who redeemed us, keep us enfolded in his love and confident in his promises. May God the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, encourage and unite us as a church family in these difficult times, and fashion us into children of light, ready for service, who walk in the way of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for the honour and glory of his name. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.